from the great pianist Keiko Matsui. Now, we're going to be talking some more about focusing, steps that we can take to improve our focus. But before we go there, I thought you might really enjoy, you know, just looking into some other health matters such as feet. Yep. How many of you have figured out that it is important to have healthy feet? How about this? How about the importance of not having bad foot odor? It's just the way you have to say about stinking.
Applying certain chemical reactions, and those chemical reactions our ex-girlfriend kind of loves. You have bacteria on your skin that loves sweat. I'm talking crazy ex-girlfriend kind of love. When it gets into contact with sweat, it goes bananas, multiplying, starting chemical reactions. And those chemical reactions are smelly. The more we sweat, the crazier the bacteria goes, and the stinkier we get. So, if you want to avoid the stink, you need to avoid the sweat. Our feet have more sweat glands than any other part of our bodies, so it takes an extra effort to keep our feet dry. When it comes to socks, stick to cotton. And consider changing into a new pair midway through the day. For shoes, disinfect those bad boys. Either dust them with talcum powder or spray them with a disinfectant. If you're spraying, make sure to let them dry overnight. Also, make sure you're not wearing the same shoes every day. Give each pair a chance to dry out before you put them on again. Disinfecting insoles can help too. And for a little extra protection, you can prep your feet with antiperspirant, the same kind you use on your underarm. If you're doing all these things and you can't get your sweat under control, go see a doctor. Bottom line, keep your feet dry and you'll be stink-free.
Yeah, how about that? Dry feet, stink-free. I like her. Now, how about this, though? The same kind of deodorizer that you use for your underarms, you can use for your feet. Now, one thing about it. This is just a guess that I have. We probably don't want to use the same, if it's a roll-on or something like that, probably don't want to put the same one under our arms that we put on our feet, between our toes and all of that, because that just might not be a good idea. And how about that whole business of spraying the shoes with deodorizer. Spray deodorizer. Wow. Okay. Sure enough, want to let that dry real good before you put those shoes back on. I can imagine you running into all kinds of problems. Spraying Lysol inside your shoes and sticking your feet in them right away. That may not be a good idea. Anyway, thought I'd share some tips with you on how we can take care of foot odor. Have pleasant feet. You don't have to be self-conscious and worried about what kind of reaction you get if you have to take your shoes off in the public. Oh, goodness. Don't have to take your shoes and your socks off. I tell you what, we're here to help. All right. So speaking of help, more on focusing. How are you doing with your focusing? What has worked for you? And have you done anything that seems to work better than other things that you try in helping you focus better? All right, let's take a look at this. We're talking about how, regardless of a person's upbringing or social distractions or work-based distractions, there are steps that we can take to help us focus. And when I say us, more specifically, to help our brains focus. So what can we do? One thing we can do is get some regular green time. Yep. Now, this is what I mean by green time. When you hear that, you're probably thinking what? Green foods? How about going natural? Any of you think about that? Well, those of you who were thinking about going natural were much closer to where they're taking us with this. Talking about adding some greenery to your office in order to increase concentration levels in the workplace. Because research suggests that exposure to natural surroundings, including green spaces, may prove beneficial not only for us older people, but for children's brain development. Exposure to natural surroundings, including green spaces, can possibly benefit children's brain development. In a study, they took a look at children aged 4 to 5 on up to 7 years of age with more green space around their homes. And this is what they found. Those children who had more green space around their homes scored better in attention tests. And these results underline the importance of expanding green areas in cities in order to support children's health and brain development. I'm telling you, it is truly amazing what we're finding out. You know, what goes such a long way towards helping us improve? Green space, it's not just psychological. It is also physiological, chemical. The brain can do its thing better if we are exposed to more green space, natural surroundings. Increased concentration from green exposure does not stop during childhood. I mentioned not just for us older folks, but for the young people, the children. Well, let's flip that. Not just for the children, but for us older people too. Research has demonstrated that glancing at greenery can make a significant difference in concentration levels and productivity, not only in college, but also in the workplace. Not only in the workplace, but also in college. You may want to consider this. I know a lot of you say, well, you know what? I have so much going on. I have so much to do that I've got to have my caffeine. I've got to have this drink that has caffeine in it. I got to have this drink that has caffeine in it. I got to have that caffeine going. Maybe not. Increased concentration from green exposure. Students were asked to conduct just a real simple test, and they were given a 40-second break midway through to view either a bare concrete roof or a flowering metal green roof. The individuals who glanced at the metal scene made considerably fewer errors and exhibited superior concentration levels on the remaining half of the task than those who just observed the concrete scene. Just by glancing at a green scene. Another study showed that enriching a bare office with plants increased the productivity of workers by 15%. 15%. The presence of the greenery increased not only workplace satisfaction and perceived air quality, but it also increased reported levels of concentration. Now, look at those benefits again now. Putting some plants in the office. The people experienced increased workplace satisfaction, increased perceived air quality, and increase in reported levels of concentration. Just by putting plants in the office. The researchers' analysis details that plants may be beneficial because a green office promotes employees' work engagement by making them more cognitively, emotionally, and physically involved in their work. Plants. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something to this going green thing. I mean, How many of us would love to go to work and really enjoy being there, experience workplace satisfaction? A lot of us do. How many more long for that experience? To be at work and experiencing workplace satisfaction. All right, now we're going to share some more. I know some of you thinking, well, come on now. It's not that easy. Stay with me. We're going to talk some more about ways to do this. And I know some of you saying maybe not that easy, but rather you're saying, come on, there's got to be something else. What else can be done? There's more. For example, here's an obvious one that I'm sure a lot of us are aware of. Probably most of us, maybe all of us. But how many of us actually do it? And that is, take a break. If you're fortunate enough to have high working memory capacity, then you should have no problem ignoring distractions and staying focused on tasks. But for many people, tuning out background distractions can be very challenging. Evidence actually suggests that taking a break from the distractions could actually enhance your ability to concentrate. Now, let's give you some specifics to take a break from. Because when you think about it, that whole idea of taking a break can be, well, not so clear. What exactly are we talking about? And we may be tempted to think, okay, I'm going to take a break. All right, so we start thinking about what we're going to take a break to, what we're going to start doing, where we're going to go, and all that's good. But let's look at it from another perspective, taking a break from. So, take a break from your email. Take a break from cell phone notifications. Take a break from social media. Taking a break from those things can boost concentration. Now, a number of you have heard me say this when it comes to email, and probably, I don't remember if I've mentioned this in regards to social media or not, to tell the truth. I know I've talked about this when it comes to email. Block out specified times of the day that you check your email. Controlling the times that you log in, whether it's work email or personal email, and batching messages, among other strategies, could help to boost on-the-job productivity. There's a study that found that people who read emails throughout the day switched screen twice as often and were in an ongoing state of high alert with a constant heart rate. When the email was removed from these people for 5 days, their heart rate returned to a natural variable one. You know, you're looking at the EKG and you see the line with those peaks going up and down, up and down, up and down. All right. That is a variable but natural heart rate. When you are so hyped that you look at that EKG and the line is almost just straight across, that's not good. That is not a natural heart rate. That is a constant heart rate, which is not good. And remember, they're associating that constant heart rate with being in an ongoing state of high alert. Not just alert, that would be bad enough. High alert. So the authors concluded that taking an email vacation significantly decreases stress and improves concentration and focus. How many of you have tried that before? Taking a break from your email. And when we say taking a break from it, we don't mean never checking it again. You know, so try not to make more out of this than there really is. I know sometimes we'd be tempted to just push the panic button, push the anger button. What? Take my email from me? No, no one's talking about taking it from you. We all know that email is there. Barring the unforeseen, it is going to be there for a while. You can open up your computer, open up that email account, and if you haven't been there in days and days and days. You're going to see days and days and days of email waiting for you. Yeah, so barring the unforeseen, it's not going to go anywhere. And think back. Some of you can think back to these days, while others of you may not have been here during these days. But there was a time when we would have to get our messages when we got home. Because basically the only way we were going to get messages were through, you know, if a person wasn't able to contact us right then and there, was by them calling home, leaving a message, or calling work and leaving a message. Certainly there was snail mail. People could send mail, drop that, you know, write their letter, write their note, drop it in the box, and it show up in our box. But for faster, and I say faster, sometimes that mail, depending on where you live and where you're sending it, it can be there the next day, literally. But for the most part, it was about the telephone. And basically, you found out who was trying to contact you when you got home. So if you were at school for 8 hours, it was after that 8 hour period was up. You got home, started checking your messages. If you were at work for 8 hours, 10 hours, it was usually after you got home, after finishing those 8 or 10 hours at work, that you check for messages. And here's the thing. For the most part, we were cool with that. We really were okay checking our messages when we got home. And a lot of times we weren't, you know, that excited about, you know, we weren't trying to rush home most of the time to check messages. Sometimes, once in a while, yeah, but for the most part, hey, you know, we knew that phone was going to be there when we got there. We knew that if someone had left a message, barring the unforeseen, that message was going to be there when we got there. We were cool with it. And how about when there were no telephones? So, you know, this whole thing about instant gratification, being able to connect right now, right now, right now. Something that's been happening in the last several years, but it hasn't always been this way. And here's my point. I said we were cool with it. My guess is getting home to check for, we didn't call it voicemail then. It was just messages left on the answering machine because we didn't have voicemail. It wasn't saved digitally like it is now often. But we were cool with getting there when we got there. Wouldn't necessarily rush. If we were going home from school, a lot of times, you know, I'm not saying never, but most of the time, oh, we'd be stopping, playing, lollygagging around. Coming home from work, might make one or two stops on the way home. We just weren't trying to rush to get there. And my guess is, as a result, as it pertains to getting messages, our hearts were probably healthier than they are now. I'm talking just when it comes to getting messages, emails, and people trying to check emails throughout the day. In an ongoing state of high alert, which kept their heart rate constant. Not good. So when we come back, let's take a look at what's happening with regards to cell phone notifications. How many of you use that feature on your phone?